Hey everyone, this is 372 Pages We'll Never Get Back with one of our favorite features. This is Meet the Authors. I'm Michael J. Nelson. Unfortunately, Connor couldn't be here, but Bob Fingerman is here as usual. He's the perennial, I think it's like, Zeppo marks or whatever. Like he's been in everything.
All my dreams have come true.
I don't know if that's true. I'm probably going to be chastised. But Bob Fingerman is here, and he found another author for us.
I fell so short. I was hoping for Gummo, but, Zeppo will have to.
Who's the one that all the other brothers said, and it's the one that it's either Gummo or Zeppo. They go like, he was the funny one.
Yeah.
All right. Then you never gave him a single funny line. Sure.
That's what they meant. Yes, I'm the Curly Joe Derita of...
don't ever say that. Pages. That's just... That I will not take. No. You're Curly or Shemp. I don't know.
Well, all right. Yeah. This is just getting better by the minute.
That's good company there. So we have a new gentleman, who is an author. A very interesting... we've never had... I think it's a travel author. Is that correct?
Yeah. You find these people through the strangest means, and just we're all, I think, getting a little bit stir crazy. And I was trying to figure out where are safe places to drive. Where can my girlfriend and I get in the car and look at people like we're going through one of those zoos where you keep the windows rolled up.
Right.
I was looking into travel options that didn't take us too far from home, and came across Steve's Rick.
Let's bring him on right now. Steve's, are you there?
Hey, Mike and Bob.
Whoa, Steve's, welcome to our little... humble podcast where we like to talk to authors. I'm glad to meet you.
I appreciate it. I'm a humble guy myself.
Okay. Steve's is an interesting name. I think, Bob, you probably know the author Rick Steves, but your name is Steve's Rick.
Yeah, actually, I was looking for Rick Steves, and I kind of put it in last name first and came across our guest.
This is the first time hearing of this Rick Steves.
Wait, really? Oh, I assumed it was a pseudonym meant to capture the uninformed Rick Steves audience, but that's actually your name? You were born as Steves Rick?
I have named Steves Rick, yep. I have a very common name, I feel like. I don't know why you're acting like it is not.
I thought maybe it was related also possibly to Stevie Nicks, but is that a thing you've ever heard of?
I get a lot of Rick D's.
Oh, that makes sense. It's Steve's Rick sounds a lot like Rick D's. Why didn't I say that right off the bat?
Steve's was a family name. I had brothers as well. I had brothers named John's, Matt's, and my brother James. So it's a lot of good boys out there, all American names.
So there weren't twins. There wasn't two of you.
No, there were two. There were two James. I have two brothers named James, twins. So they are the James.
Oh, I see. Okay, so do they call themselves James?
No, their name is James. But when you say, are the twins coming over? You say, are the James coming?
I got you. So
are John's coming? Are Matt's coming? Are the James coming?
So then
when the Rick's family is gathering.
I see. But if you had another brother named, there's Steve. Not another brother named Steve. It's
no,
just
that would be ludicrous.
Okay. Got you.
That would be confusing.
Have you ever sort of put your own name against Carl's Jr. and tried to do the same? Because I've never figured that out. Do you know anything about that?
I'm a Hardee's man myself, but I tell you this, there was a man named Carl.
Yes.
He had a son named Junior.
Oh, that
Carl's
makes sense.
Junior. So his name was not Carl. His name was Junior.
But then Carl's Junior, it's like, it's Carl's Junior what? Because it's not Carl's Juniors. When you say like Hardee's.
Dave Thomas, his daughter Wendy's.
Right.
It's very similar to my name Steve's.
But Carl's Junior.
Carl's Junior, his son, yes.
But the restaurant is not, doesn't, is, isn't just Carl, like, Jr. the possessor of the restaurant, and therefore it should be possessive Carl's Jr.'s?
I feel like you're being willfully obtuse here.
I am. You know what? I have spent far too
Wendy's,
much time
the
son, on this.
The daughter is named Wendy's, and so the it is named after her.
But Carl's, was there a Jr. restaurant called Carl's?
No, there is no restaurant Carl's.
Well, then,
I mean, there might be. I have not visited every restaurant in the year. That would be the domain of some sort of travel writer. I do not. I am not a fan of travel writers.
Don't get me started on Ruth's Chris.
Oh, my God.
Please do not, Bob.
I'm sorry. This would be like having Truman Capote on and asking him so many questions about, is he, you know, related to the president? I apologize. I'm going to just move on. I'm going to move on to your actual books. Now, tell us about your travel writing. What kind of books do you write?
Well, like I said, I'm not really a travel writer, but I write odes to the great and glorious Frontage Road.
Frontage Road?
Is a, sure. A frontage road is a road that parallels the highway.
Yes, I know that. I'm from the Midwest, and that's a thing.
It is a term that is not known in all of the America, but it is known, yes, the Midwest, California. There are frontage roads everywhere, but you may not call them frontage roads. Side roads, some call them. Not a fan of it myself. Takes a little bit of the mystique away from the great and glorious frontage road.
Wow. Well, this is fascinating. So the frontage road is the road that runs parallel to a, did you say highway?
Yes, highway or freeway.
Oh, and okay.
Parallel is a divisive term in the frontage road community. There are some sticklers who will point out that at many times it does not run directly parallel, and we do not like to include those people in our discussions. It's fairly pedantic.
Gotcha. I would imagine that a bunch of Carl's Juniors are on frontage roads next to highways or freeways. Has that you found that to be the case as you write about them?
I feel like I am being mocked, but yes, that is very much the case. Yes, as there are Wendy's, as there are McDonald's, it is a popular exit chain of restaurants. So
and
yes,
Carl's Jr. isn't that sometimes split with another restaurant? Isn't it like a half and half with something? Is that correct?
Yes, on the east side of the Rockies, where they do not refer to frontage roads as frontage roads, they call them side roads. You also follow Carl's Jr.'s, known as Hardee's. But this is not something that I cover in my book.
All right, I'm sorry. Again, I don't mean to rile you up. I'm fascinated by that. It's just that
This is my natural speaking voice. I just sound riled, I guess.
Oh, okay, good. Well, good. So you're actually calm.
That's it's been sort of a problem in my personal life, I will admit.
Carl's Jr. or
the voice
sorry,
sounds
that's
like I'm
right.
constantly
yes.
irritated.
I'm sorry. I understand now, and I will not be I will, whatever the tone of your voice is, I will assume that things are calm unless you say something like, now I am angry.
That will do, yes. I've been known to do that after many years of therapy. That was decided as the best way to indicate I am angry.
Okay. And how many of these frontage, because, I mean, frontage roads, I don't know how many miles of them there are in the United States of America, assuming you only stay in the United States. Are there?
Well, I can tell you.
Oh, great. How many?
There are 87,249 miles of frontage roads in America. I have written 50 books, one for each state, covering each mile of frontage road. State by state.
Wow. So where did you start this project? Which state?
It started at the beginning of the alphabet, Alabama.
And isn't there a song to help remember Alabama?
If you do it, I do not know that song, but I would. It is something that would have come in handy because I started this book series many years ago before the internet. It was hard to find information like the correct alphabetical order of the states. A song would have been very helpful.
That is true. That is true. You're not angry, though.
I'm not angry. Did you hear me say
sorry?
That?
No, that's correct.
All I'm hearing is Carl Jr.'s.
That's Bob. Do you have any questions for Steve's?
I do. I mean, I am curious. Is there a distinction between frontage roads and surface roads? Because that's the one thing that I had thought. I call them surface roads, but maybe I'm using the wrong word.
It does seem to me like you are. This is not something that comes up in our community. Surface road. Are all roads not surface roads? Do you take subterranean highways like some sort of mole person?
Not.
I'm honestly asking a question. If that sounded sarcastic, I apologize. But no, there is no such thing as a surface road. Surface roads are what unites us all as we travel this great continent.
Steve, I have a question follow-up to that. Do you find that in addition to your voice being, it's hard to ascertain what sort of an attitude you have. Do you, does the opposite work? Like if I say, oh, this is a fascinating interview, Steve's.
I can tell you're being sarcastic there.
Oh, okay. So you can hear.
I can tell.
And what if I say this, like, this is the worst GD interview I've ever done.
I do not have like what lack of facial recognition, whatever that is called. I do not have that for tone of voice.
I just
want to
make sure it's one way. It's just a one way problem. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, so you could hear sarcasm. You could hear sarcasm if I did it.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
I have not had need to be sarcastic in this interview yet. I am having a great time.
Oh, that's.
I appreciate the opportunity to promote the books. The book of Frontage Roads in North Dakota has not sold well, so I hope this will goose the sales numbers.
Oh, and is that the, well, it can't be the most recent if you've done them in alphabetical order, of course.
But. No, the last one I finished was Wyoming. It capped the series off. I hope to not travel to the territories. I have heard lovely things about the Frontage Roads of Guam.
Oh, okay, so the territories are uncovered, of course, yes, yes.
That was my next question.
Yeah, that we're going like state quarters, fellas.
How did you get into this, Steve's?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I was driving along the Frontage Road with my wife, Darla, and it was one of the Frontage Roads. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. You're driving on the freeway, but the Frontage Road on the side of the freeway is going in the opposite direction. And it was one of those Frontage Roads where the speed limit was 50 miles an hour. So you are driving as fast as possible, and it feels like you're driving the wrong way on a freeway. I will not lie, it was an erotic thrill.
Oh my goodness. And this is with your wife, Darla. You're a married man?
Yeah, well, yes. I am a married man. I have been a married man. I have been married 11 times.
Sure. I guess if you say you're a married man, I guess you have been a married man unless we're there at the moment that your vows are like the...
Yes. And that introducing at some points there have been sort of Schrodinger's things where I am a married man and a married, not a married man at the same time. There was
How does that work? Marriage. Well, I guess with 11 marriages, there's probably a lot comes up.
One of them was 90 minutes.
One of the marriages...
Yes, Darla not realize that we had ended our marriage and I had gotten remarried during lunch. I came back home and remarried Darla. It was an expensive lunch. It was an expensive trip to P.F. Chang's.
Is that on a Frontage Road?
It was on a Frontage Road in this case, yes, but that was a coincidence.
Was it a Frontage Road that is also a surface street? Again, I hate to return to that. I'm just trying to work this out.
Of course it was a surface street. We've been very clear about this, that unless there is some sort of tunnel community, unless there are some sort of Morlocks that have built a highway system, a system of interstate freeways and named it after their equivalent of President Dwight Eisenhower, that all roads are surface roads.
Okay. Again, glad you're not angry.
Not angry.
All right. Well, fascinating stuff. And we will, of course, commend your books to everyone. A little bit about yourself, though. What do you like to do when you're not writing about surface streets or marrying Darla again?
Well, I am passionately committed to arcane media format, the LaserDisc.
Oh, wow.
The LaserDisc has got a bad rap, but it was the most majestic of disc-based media formats. When you remove a laser disc from its packaging, it is like a shiny LP. The way that the light glints off of it also gave me the same erotic thrill as driving on a Frontage Road that goes the other way from the freeway.
All right. So a lot of your interests involve sparking erotic thrills.
I've been married 11 times. I think that would be perfectly clear. A new marriage, there's no more erotic a thrill.
That's true. Bob, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Oh, lucky me. Well, you know, I used to collect laser discs myself, so I have some sympathy to that.
Yeah, I would hope so. It is a hefty hobby. The storage alone cost me all the royalties from the states that have two names, North Dakota, North Carolina, all the Norths. I have over 11,000.
Oh my goodness. Where do you store them?
The self-storage facility. I have made good with the owner. I have also slept in said facility in between some of the marriages to Darla.
Oh, okay. So is that on her behest? Would you please go into the self-storage laser disc storage area?
Yeah, she is not a fan of the hobby. It has been the cause of several of the divorces.
Well, what is your, I wasn't going to say your favorite, but I want to say, what is the laser disc that takes up the most sides of a laser disc that you own?
Well, that is a good question.
Would that be Godfather, or maybe you own Spartacus? That's probably like six laser discs.
It is six laser discs, but it is outweighed in my collection by my corner of the facility that is dedicated to storing my copies of The Good Son.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood. I have over 80 copies.
Oh, is there different versions of that movie?
There are no, but I seek out the hot stamper, as we call it in the Laserdisc community. There are differences in pressings.
I did not know that.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Different weights matter in the Laserdisc community.
Do what matter?
The weights, as they do at an LP.
Yeah, yes. And so you will find that things came off the production line with bit rates of various different qualities. So it is my hope and that eventually I will find a copy of The Good Son that is the hottest stamper of them all. So far, my copies of 80, I have one that I purchased in 1997 that I consider the gold standard. And one day, I hope, maybe, just maybe, I will rewatch that movie and they will become friends at the end because it is quite a downer.
This is a noble, noble goal, sir. And I hope that you accomplish it.
I have no children, but I have 80 copies of The Good Son.
If I rummage through your storage area, and I would not, I'm not making any threat. Bank. Would I be able to find Mannequin 2, Mannequin on the Move?
That was a prime Laserdisc dollar store find. The way you could go into a used CD store and you could get copies of R.E.M. Monster or Spin Doctors. They were always available.
You go into those stores and you hear that clicking sound of the people going through the CDs, used CDs. Does that happen with Laserdisc?
It does, but it is a much weightier sound. People have been known to bend a fingernail when a Laserdisc slammed forward faster than they were expecting.
Certainly, much more mass. And another quick question, and again, these are rabbit trails, I know, but I appreciate your patience. And
I'm a patient man, Mike.
Yes, not being angry at all is a big help. Do you have that do you have that movie where Dana Carvey played like a master of disguise? I believe it's called Master of Disguise.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you have that?
Oh, I've got it. Yeah,
I'd love to borrow that sometimes.
There's a great gatefold cover of that one where it's are you familiar with the Isaac Hayes album Black Moses?
Of course.
It folds out into a life-size depiction of Isaac Hayes dressed as Black Moses. This has the same thing, Master of Disguise, except for the beloved character of the Turtle Man.
Oh, the Turtle Man. I believe, maybe, can you imitate his signature phrase?
Of course I can.
Please do
Turtle?
It.
Turtle?
That is, Turtle? That is spot on, Steve's.
Thank you. I have a copy of that guarding the entrance. I did need to buy two copies of Master of Disguise, violating my pledge to only buy more than one copy of The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood.
Right, as previously mentioned.
Yes.
That's fascinating. This is a little piece that came up in your press clippings here. And a fascinating thing. Your father wrote a Kentucky Fried Chicken jingle that was popular back in the probably 70s, 80s. Is that right?
Yes, my father, Carl's Rick Jr.
Carl's, oh wow, okay, what a coincidence. And we've been talking about
coincidence about what?
Yeah, never mind. No. I don't think that you can hear the maybe you can hear the music here. I'm just going to try to play it. Are you able to hear that?
I cannot, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm not sharing my audio, sorry. Anyway, it goes like this. Let's grab a bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
It's finger licking good.
Yeah.
Wow. That's stuck in my head. I can't believe that your father, Carl's Rick Jr.
Yeah.
Right.
He wrote the jingle for the KFC back in the 70s. It had a delightful ad. There were some kids running around and a teacup ride made of buckets of chicken. Oh, and right. He thought it was going to be the next Buy the World a Coke.
It was big. I remember it.
Yeah, but it does not endure.
Let's ask a question if you want to be honest here, and it's just a small podcast. You seeing any Jingo from that? Any dead presidents? Any frog skins? Any green bucks? Any De Niro's? You know what I'm saying?
I have seen some frog skins.
Okay.
They are not, they're about the same as the registered royalties from the North Dakota series of frontage road guidebooks.
Oh, which so, you had to give up to buy your Laserdisc collection. Yeah. Sure.
But there was a bit of a surprise one year, mid-2000s. Mid-aughts, when all of a sudden the royalties spiked from the Bucket of Chicken Jingle.
Mm.
And it turned out that it was because it was sampled in a Chemical Brothers track.
No.
Yes. They released a 12-inch in Lithuania dance remix, and they sampled the Bucket of Chicken. And that brought in, like you said, some frog skins.
Sure, yes. So 12-inch, and what weight was that?
180 gram.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's the sweet spot right there.
They did not send me one. I do not have it as part of my collection.
I understand. I noticed from the picture that Bob, the rendering of Bob's, that you have unusual eyewear. Tell us about that.
Well, those are my pinhole glasses. I assume you know why.
Well, I do. Bob, are you familiar with pinhole glasses?
Yeah, let's assume that I have no knowledge of why this would be your choice of eyewear.
Well, a lot of people see them, Bob, and they think you must be willing to view an eclipse at any given time one may occur. Though that is an advantage of the pinhole glasses, that is not why I wear them.
Should an eclipse break out at any moment, you are prepared.
Yes, no one knows when they will happen. I am prepared.
Is that true?
I believe it is. You could walk outside and an eclipse could happen today.
That's why they built Stonehenge. Outside of a Mark Twain book, we're pretty sure when eclipses happen. So I don't... Oh, okay.
Mark Twain, I mean, did he ever travel on a frontage road? I don't know.
I'm thinking back over all his... No, he did not. So,
okay. Yeah. Probably some of those surface roads, Bob. Not angry.
No, I understand.
I wear the glasses to honor Dr. Broner.
The soap magnate?
The soap magnate, the German man, escaped a concentration camp and built a soap empire that is now watched over by his son, Dr. Broners Jr. The third.
Right. Okay.
That is a family business.
Oh, so I'm slightly familiar. All one.
That's
dilute,
correct.
Dilute.
Dilute it away.
Yeah. Wow.
I see you're a fan of the small text.
I love to, I have whiled many hours reading the blue labels. So,
You keep one next to the can, eh?
I don't.
You read it?
No. Actually, my can is sort of on a frontage road next to my sink. So it's kind of it's off that I have to kind of drive, take left, and then I get to my can.
That sounds like a little bit of sarcasm to me.
Oh, no. Sorry, if it had been sarcasm, I would have said, my can is on a frontage road.
All right. Getting a little angry. No, but so I like to keep the soap bottle next to the can. I like to go in there. Darla bangs on the door. I say, not now. I'm in the third quadrant. And I try to read through it at least once a month. It's relaxing. It calms me.
Yes.
I enjoy the philosophy presented on the soap bottle.
And do you wear the pinhole glasses to read that tiny text? Does that work?
It's the way that it makes it easier, yes. It's like a pinhole camera.
Wow, I will have to try that.
It makes it look bigger, although upside down.
Oh.
So I have had to train myself to read large text projected onto my retina upside down.
Could you put your can on the ceiling and then leave the bottle in the regular position?
That would present a problem with gravity.
I should have added sarcasm to that. I'm sorry.
Oh, right. Anyway,
I would not
do that. That would result in fecal matter everywhere.
Okay. I think that was clear. All right. Bob, do you have any final questions? We don't want to keep you, Mr. Rick. Can I call you Mr. Rick?
No, I'm hopping on a train to Guam in 30 minutes.
Honestly. Oh, fantastic.
Doing some research.
So much to chew on. I don't think I actually have any... Any further questions? None that would result in anything less than a 90-minute episode.
Well, if you want to chew on something, Bob, I suggest have a bucket of chicken.
It's finger licking good. Sing it with me, Steve's Rick. Let's have a bucket of chicken.
That's what Rick Steve's Rick would do.
Wow. Yep. Now we owe your state some money, and we will pay up.
That's the long con, Mike.
Wow, that's what this was all about.
Now thank you for having me on. I will relish that nickel more than any of the others.
That's well, once it gets through all of the companies that, you know, issue the song, you'll get less than that. But still, we're happy to pay
you
that
for
nickel.
Breaking down the royalty system for me.
Yes. That was not sarcastic or angry?
That was angry.
Okay. You say it up front then, because it's kind of like...
I'm retroactively angry.
Could you do it like when you a drill instructor, sir, yes, sir, like you put it around everything that you say?
So
you
I'm
say,
angry,
I'm angry,
dick.
Then
I'm
the
angry.
Sentence.
Yeah. Okay. How does that sound?
Do it again.
No.
Okay. Wow. Well, don't you have to say, I'm angry? No, I'm angry.
I ceased being angry after I said.
Sure. Of course. I'm
bookending it. Yeah.
I should just play by the system.
It's like a coding. You code, you put the parentheses around stuff, and that's how the command ends.
Of course. I understand. Well, Steve's Rick, fascinating to talk to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike. Consider changing it to Mike's. It's a good look. Bob's, maybe.
I will. I certainly will.
All right.
Steve's Rick, thanks so much. And good luck with your books. We'll promote it, of course. And we'll promote the Guam book when it comes out.
I truly appreciate it. Look for it in 2029.
So long.
Bye.